Okay, we'll pick back up over in Romans, and we are in verse 12. And Paul again's been speaking of how the saints ought to relate to one another in the context and the light of God's choosing, in the context of the light of who God's people are, those that he's chosen. At least a small portion of this thought began in verse 7 of chapter 15. We could go all the way back several chapters, but Paul said in verse 7, "Wherefore ye receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Now I say that Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice ye Gentiles with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Esaias saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now, what glorious words those are. What comfort to us Gentiles. And again saith Esaias or Isaiah, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." A blessed truth that the Messiah has a people amongst the Gentiles. And a truth that was revealed in the Old Testament, that the Lord during his own earthly ministry said, I have sheep that are not of this flock. They shall be one flock. And so this should not have come as any surprise unto the Jews. And it ought to bear on the relationship that God's people hath one to another. And so when Paul quotes again from the scriptures we sang about, and Brother Dale spoke of God's marvelous word. And Paul had this, see. Paul had received these things. He grew up as a Pharisee, but he didn't really understand them all. Until the Lord opened, you know, we get paper and ink. That's more than that. Yeah, it's not a living, breathing thing, you know, like the liberals would have us believe, or an evolving thing. But it's something we really can't comprehend until the Holy Spirit opens our spiritual eyes. And so Paul says, you know what Isaiah said? From Isaiah 11:10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Now the older rabbis understood that this was speaking of the Messiah. Rabbi Zohar said that when the King Messiah is revealed, there shall be gathered to him all the nations of the world, so that the scripture shall be fulfilled. The root of Jesse. We began speaking of that last week, and just, you know, why does he speak of him as the root of Jesse? And I think at least in part to show us that the kingly line of the Messiah would come from the modest backgrounds of the sons of Jesse. Folks that you and I wouldn't have picked. It shows us God's sovereign will. And even as the Lord was picking David, the son of Jesse, as he sent his man to choose for one, and we looked at that passage in Samuel, where Samuel goes down and to seek a king, and amongst the sons of Jesse, and he has all them sons come before him. Boy, a big strapping eldest comes through. And it came to pass in 1 Samuel 16, and I'm just picking up at verse 6, "And it came to pass when they were come, and that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. This is the one. I can tell. Look at how big and strapping he is. Look at how good looking he is. He's the one. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh, or for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Down in verse 11, it says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And I brought all the sons through. He still it wasn't one. And he said, Jesse said, and he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So we should be careful in our judgments of one another. You know, Samuel was sure it was this one and that one. But God doesn't judge as we judge, thankfully. Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4:15, or excuse me, 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have the praise of God. God will reveal those things. And again, when the Lord speaks of the root of Jesse, he is the root of Jesse. Now, everything springs from the root. The tree springs from the root. The branches spring from the root. It's the root that gives sustenance to all the branches. And again, how is it that he's the root of Jesse when he comes from Jesse? Well, before we get into that, again, we're reminded of Paul's earlier discussions here back in Romans 11 when he was speaking of a tree and of roots and of branches. And again, in the context, is here as he speaks of the Jews and the Gentiles. Remember back in Romans 11, we read in beginning verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Speaking of the Jews. God forbid. But rather through their fall is salvation come to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For us, again, I think of these folks that embrace replacement theology and these things. That, well, we got rid of the Jews. Now it's us. Paul said, wait a minute. You know, if the Jews fell, if they fell in disbelief and so forth, you know, and that brought blessings to you, how much more blessings is it going to bring when they're restored? Just think about it. And yet these folks reject that. Some folks. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulate them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Those of God's elect, the branches, the Jews and the Gentiles. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root. See, the root is where the sustenance comes from. The Gentiles that are grafted in partake of that root. And the fatness of the olive tree boasts not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Now, we're not such big shot with it. We're being born by the root. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? He's the root. He's the root of the olive tree. He's the root of Jesse. And so we see here again the unity of the Lord's church being one tree and sustained by one root. Not only is he the root of Jesse, but as we already mentioned, he's the offspring of Jesse. And there's the great mystery. How can one be the root and the offspring at the same time? It can't be explained except through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God became a man. God was born of a woman. Only the mystery that he's the root and the branches. Revelation 5, verse 5, we read this. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. He's the root of David. And yet we read a little bit further on in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things and into the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. I'm the root and the offspring of David. Something that can only be explained by the incarnation, that God became man. And by the way, one of the common things that's denied, you know, by the cults, like Mormonism and some of these others. But anyway, that's just in passing. And the mystery of the incarnation is something, again, that doesn't sit with the natural mind. It's something that's beyond the... people can be real religious. You remember the Pharisees? They could not comprehend that. That was something they just could not embrace, something they could not get their arms around. In Matthew 22, verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now see, that's a big question. Whose son is Christ? And they saith unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? In the Psalms. Again, where David says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord says then, in verse 45, if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? I guess we would call that in human terms a riddle, but it's a mystery. So who's the Messiah? Oh, he's the son of David. But wait a minute. In the Psalms, David says the Messiah is his Lord. If he calls him his Lord, how is he his son? verse 46. This is the natural mind. This is natural man. You know, if we know these things, it's only by the grace of God. Verse 46. And no man was able to answer him. No man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. So don't ask him any questions, because he's going to ask you a question you can't answer. You know, what a marvelous truth. You know, he's the root and the offspring. In John 8, verse 56, again a similar instance. Lord speaks to his detractors. He said, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And the Pharisee says, there he goes again, you know. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you. This gives goosebumps. It says, before Abraham was, I am. Oh. They knew what he was saying. Moses, he was out there in the burning bush, and he said, who are you? He said, I am. I am that I am. And Jesus said to his detractors, he said, I want you to know something. I am. They didn't like that. They couldn't explain it. They couldn't answer it. They didn't like it. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You see, these things that are a mystery to the world can't be comprehended, can't be known. He's the root and the offspring of Jesse. He's the root and the offspring of David. But those things are revealed to his own. Now, as the Lord makes these truths evident to us, that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hand, see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace unto you, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. He reveals this to his people, to his own. And even if they kind of fight against it or whatever in the old human flesh, he said, Thomas, look here. Come on. Go ahead then. Because Thomas was one of his. Put your fingers through the nail prints. Put your hand in my side. And Thomas falls down before him and says, my Lord and my God. Thomas knew who he was. That's what Paul's speaking about here. He's the root of Jesse. Not just the offspring. Not just the son of David. He's the Lord of David. And it's this very one, as Paul continues here, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. This same one, the Messiah of Israel, the root of Jesse, the root of David, the offspring as well. This one that shall reign not only over the Jews, but over the Gentiles as well. Again, Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now when Isaiah speaks there of an ensign, you know, an ensign's a symbol of power and of rule. And Christ today, as Lord, he rules in the hearts of his people. He rules in the hearts of his elect. And at his appearing, he'll rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering, shall the gathering of the people be. Well, just a couple more and then we'll have to finish this mid-verse, I think, because I could go on about some more here. Maybe we'll see. Psalm 2, David writes again concerning the Messiah, a Messianic Psalm. Psalm 2, verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You know, we fret about things and what's going on about us. Listen, God's up there. These, the threats of men, the boastings of men, God's laughing. And he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath saith unto me. The Lord hath saith unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice in trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. God has people, those that he brings to trust, to embrace. Blessed are those. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the ends of the world shall remember and return unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. God's in charge. We were talking with Heather on the phone, kind of without ever using words you're not supposed to use. And, you know, we were talking about the manipulations that are going on, and you know, it really doesn't matter who wins. It's all going to be the same. And, you know, she said, yeah, the people that are controlling things, and, you know, there's always been people that have opposed him. I said, yeah, but you know what? He's in charge. He's in charge, and he's going to work his perfect will. And let me end on this note, because I came across something that gave me some remembrance of things, and we'll wrap up. And Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. That verse 4 there just jumps out. And we sang about it this morning, and we spoke of it. Listen, he shall not fail, nor be discouraged. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Listen, God is going to accomplish His will. God is going to save His elect. I was reminded of that as I came across this verse. And often I put some little articles from Daniel Parks there in the Virgin Islands. And he made allusion to it. And it just reminded me of something from my own earlier days. My own childhood, if you will. Daniel Parks brought this out in speaking of God. And Daniel Parks was quoting from Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. You believe that? Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. And yet, there are men who would profess to be of at least similar faith and practice. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, I knew a fellow by the name of Noel Smith. He was one of the founders of what's called Baptist Bible Fellowship. One of the founders, the founder of what became Baptist Bible Tribune. It's still being published. And I'm not trying to beat up on anybody, but just the things men can believe and write and say. And Brother Parks quoted Noel Smith, and of course I've seen others allude to this as well. He doesn't mention his name. I knew who it was as soon as he said it. But he said, a certain preacher was quoted as saying, and he was quoted, you can go back and find it in the Defender magazine of December 1956. A certain preacher was quoted as saying, knowing God as I do through His revelation, He has given me of Himself and His Word. When I'm told that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, I know it means the triune God is doing, has done, is doing, always will do, all that the triune God can do to save every man, woman, and child in this earth. If it doesn't mean that, then tell me, I pray you, what it does mean. Well, I could tell him, but he wouldn't listen. But he says, what is hell? It is an infinite negation. It is finite chaos, is infinite chaos. And it is more than that. I tell you, I say with profound reverence. No, he doesn't. But he says this. I say with profound reverence, hell is a ghastly monument to the failure of the triune God to save multitudes who are there. I say it reverently. I say it with every nerve in my body tense. Sinners go to hell because God Almighty Himself cannot save them. He did all He could. He failed. Now, brother, that's from a fundamentalist Baptist preacher. A fellow I'd met in my childhood. My dad went a year or so to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and that's where Noel Smith was. I remember Noel Smith. These folks, and he wrote this article, The Universal Atonement, you know, to promote that concept, that idea. How men can believe such things? Let me tell you something. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. We're back to Isaiah. Isaiah 42 and verse 4. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. And the God is not willing that any of His elect shall perish. And none of them will. And if a man can't figure that out from the context of what Peter's writing about, you know, you have to be concerned with someone like that. I don't know. I can't look at their hearts and whatever. And I know God's people can be confused about a lot of things. But I'm thankful that He's allowed me to understand, I believe, to understand at least a few things. That He's been pleased to reveal some things to us, to me. Now, Noel Smith said God revealed this to him too. So I don't know. I don't know how that would have happened, but I'm confident that he shall not fail nor be discouraged. He is the root and the offspring. He is the sovereign Lord. He is David's son, but more than that, he is David's Lord. And the world can't grasp it. They just don't get it. And if you do, it's not because you're so smart. It's because God, in His sovereign grace, determined to reveal that to you. And we should be eternally grateful for that. Well, let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 182. Stand up for Jesus, number 182.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high His royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this His glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Your courage rise for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching up to prayer, where duty calls to stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To Him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Father, thank You for this day, and Lord, thank You for bringing us all back together again. How blessed it is to be in the house of the Lord and to raise our voices with Your saints. Lord, I thank You for each one that's here, for the encouragement that they are to my own heart. I pray Your hand upon them as they go forth in this week, that You use them to Your glory. Pray You be with Brother Hal today as he visits with his Aunt Bunny and the family there. Passing of Jim, that You just might give him words of comfort, encouragement, and words that You might use to glorify Yourself.
Yes, Lord.
Pray, Lord, You be with Brother Dale as he ministers there to his family, his brother, and many other family circumstances there that You might be pleased to use him in. Thank You, Lord, of Brother Pruffel, and Lord, the privilege he has, though it be a painful one, of ministering to his nephew, and to his sister and her family.
Lord, you give him strength. You give those that treat little Ian wisdom. Lord, what comfort it is to know that it's only by your grace that we understand anything, Lord. It's only by your grace that we've come to embrace the one who's both the root and the offspring of David. Lord, what a great mystery, what a great truth. God became man. Lord, what a great truth to know that, Lord, you're not going to fail. Lord, you're not going to be discouraged. But you sit in the heavens and you do what you will. Lord, how pitiful to claim to follow him and to believe otherwise. What at the very least, Lord, a lack of a loss of comfort and solace and assurance. And Lord, we know it's not by our own that we have come to see these things. We just thank you for your grace. We thank you for the revelation of your Spirit. Lord, go with us all in this coming week. Use us all to your glory. Thank you, Lord, for that love that spanned an eternity, that chose a people, and that revealed yourself to them in your word, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, your Son, the very creator of all. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.